Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and for today, it is a Friday, which means we get into the hard economics of the week. And for today, we're going to be unpacking some of the action that's coming out of the currency markets. What's going on with the rand? What are some of the drivers of strength in the local currency? Is it the internal factors? Is it exogenous factors? Is it South Africa? Is it what's going on in and around the world? And in particular, we're likely going to be talking about the relationship between the South African rand together with the US dollar. And to help us to unpack what's actually going on out there, we are joined by Terence Hove, who is a financial markets analyst over at a brokerage firm that is Exynos, just to give us some insight around what's going on there. Terence, how are you today?
I'm very well, thanks, Mudiwa. How are you?
All right. Now, usually we try to get a sense of the organizations that we are dealing with. So maybe you can give us some insight into Exynos. You know, what does the company do? What is it about? And then, you know, your role specifically at the company.
Right. Now, thank you for the opportunity, Mudiwa. Exynos is a multi-asset financial brokerage firm, more in the area of finance and technology, what we now commonly refer to as fintech. So this was founded in the year 2008 by like-minded professionals. And the group offers a wide range of financial instruments, including currency pairs, metals, cryptocurrencies, energies, indices, and stocks. Headquartered in Cyprus, we also have a secondary headquarters in Malaysia, in Kuala Lumpur. But we are a very global entity. We've got a very strong presence across sub-Saharan Africa and including different parts of Asia as well.
So when it comes to, I like the fact that at least you guys have that global overview, that global presence, because I think that lends itself to actually viewing the rand, you know, from a holistic point of view. Not, you know, sometimes people see something that happens just in South Africa and say, oh, the rand is about to go down, yet there's also exogenous factors that we have to also then consider. So from that point of view, you know, the rand at the moment, how are we doing? You know, how has it performed, I guess, through the year? I think let's start there. And also, you know, when you are judging, you know, the performance of the rands, what are some of the factors that you use to actually judge? Because for the layman out there, they just look at the dollar rand numbers that usually are quoted in the media.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, thank you. Thank you for that, Mudiwa. So, yeah, the year where the rand is now and where it was at once upon a time, you know, it's been quite an interesting journey. I think earlier on around May, June, we saw it dip to lows of around, call it 1340, and then shooting way back up to about 1540, you know, like quite a massive move during those times. So it kind of tells the story of what's been happening, not only in South Africa, but also what's been happening globally that is affecting South Africa, you know, within the wider global markets. I think the past 2 weeks have been fantastic for the rand. We've seen quite a strong performance for the rand, especially in comparison to its peers. You know, we're quite close to the year-to-date mark of, you know, a strong rally of the rand, having roughly 6.5 rally against the United States dollar, you know, and which is has been a very strong performance. But that performance as well has also been more driven by the dollar wobble because of what the market was anticipating leading up to the Jackson Hole symposium. So a few things that we need to also unpack and look at in terms of, you know, what is the story within South Africa? What is the story within, you know, the United States? You know, factors affecting that pair. And we'll look first, you know, to the base currency being the United States dollar. So I think the biggest thing, the that was coming out leading to this two-week rally was the Jackson Hole Symposium, as I mentioned, where markets were anticipating that US Fed Chair Jerome Powell was going to give more clear indication as to when tapering timelines are going to begin. But during that symposium, he really watered down that expectation, sounding very dovish, indicating that, you know, it's really led about the growth in terms of the labor market in the US and also distancing tapering from the rate hikes and pushing it out to, you know, call it the early parts of 2023. So now we just have the US tapering off the asset purchase program in isolation. What markets still anticipate and what came out from that likely to be at the end of the year of its start. Now, because of that watered down expectation that the market had built up, that started off the wobble of the US dollar and the Rand gained traction against that. Also, within South Africa, looking, you know, now inside the economy, what's been happening to the Rand, to the economy, a few key things happened. We were quite disappointed when the jobs data came out. And so what we saw with the unemployment rate, including people who have given up work, you know, that increased by more than 40%. And that just tells the story of what this pandemic has done, you know, to global markets, which has been the key thing. Again, also in the US, the rate of recovery, how many people are able to get into jobs and how many companies are opening up, how many companies are beginning to hire closer to home, how quick are we able to open up? And it's been a start, stop situation. Right now, we're dealing with the Delta variant. Cases in South Africa have come down by about, call it 50%, and continuing their trajectory down. We saw the rollout of vaccinations now opening to the younger population. Hopefully that will also start increasing that vaccination drive as well, because that is very key for recovery and for the economy to open up and for hiring to start happening in South Africa. So what does that mean for the Rand? As you mentioned, it's a figure that we're looking on the charts. It's ticking up and down. So the pace at which we're able to open up the economy, get back into, you know, manufacturing. We saw the APSA manufacturing number, PMI, coming out.
Actually, Terrence, just to pull you back a little bit, because it sounds like there's a lot of different factors that actually go into just thinking about, you know, where the Rand is going. And I feel like, you know, there's a myriad of factors. And there's one in particular that you mentioned just now that I just want to quickly zoom in on before you continue. And that's the outlook that Jerome Powell in the US has given. That's the U.S. Is he the Fed chair?
Yes.
If I remember correctly. Yes. Yeah. He's the U.S. Fed chair, or the equivalent of what we would call a Reserve Bank governor.
Correct. Yes.
You know, yeah. So from that point of view, then, because we've made that point, how likely are we to then see, the Reserve Bank here, you know, taking a similar stance when they do their next Monetary Policy Committee meeting, because it really does seem as if countries look to what's going on over there to inform whatever they do in their own countries.
Right. Interesting question. One good thing about our South African Reserve Bank is that they've always maintained their own independence in terms of their view on what works for the South African economy. And they've made it very clear in terms of what they are looking at, and inflation being one of those very key important things, and keeping the economy within that inflation, that band of 3-6%, which we are about there. So if we look in the past MPC meetings that have happened this year, you know, the tone was reiterated in terms of where the South African economy is and where, you know, relative to inflation. And now we felt some inflationary pressure, but that ticked down just a little bit, but now sort of like picking up. But probably maybe not in time for this September meeting that we're expecting. So what does it mean for the US? On the other hand, Jerome Powell did say that what they're looking at is how is the labor market recovering, which is now looking at the different views that they have. So they want to see strong data coming out and consistently being the key word. So if that comes out, which is later on today in terms of the August print, and this is the interesting thing, this number has been revised twice over this past two-week period. It was expected at 750, then notched down to 730. Then now it's been moved back to 750. So you get a sense that analysts are, though optimistic, but the situation around recovery has been very difficult to focus. Why? Because of this Delta variant that has actually been prevalent. Now in South Africa, there's talk of a new variant and a possible fourth wave. So now we also now have a different focus altogether.
It's actually quite scary that now there's another variant that people have to contend with. I remember talking to some people recently, and there was a joke going around that we're probably going to end up at the end of the Greek alphabet, you know, with all of these different variants. Right. But I guess coming back to, you know, where you were just now, that employment data is quite dire, like what you were saying, the more than 40% unemployment. And I think you're about to get into the story around the PMI. I think that's where what you're about to talk about. So maybe you can, you know, lead us on from there, because, you know, one of the things that's interesting about, you know, currency markets is people have a certain view of what it means to trade currencies. But listening to you, it's like, no, guys, you can't just go into FX what and just and register account and hope that you're going to make money. Like, this stuff takes a lot of patience and knowledge to actually just understand what's going on.
Yes, 100%. You're certainly right. That is very important. You can't just hope trade your way into profits or losses. You know, you really need to have a well thought through strategy in terms of how you're going to approach each position that you'd like to take, and the decision, or rather the research that goes into the decisions that you'll make into taking that position. And part of this is looking at these key fundamental indicators within economies in terms of it suggests. So the number that we see on the chart of the Rand tells a story behind that. One figure is a story in terms of what's really happening in the backdrop of the South African economy or the US economy, looking particularly at the dollar rand. And one of those was that ABSA manufacturing PMI. And this came in well above the 50 level. The actual print was 57.9. So that also starts showing you that the story behind the, you know, manufacturing is starting to open up to get back to, you know, to that rhythm that we need in the economy. And once manufacturing is going up, it also means that, you know, manufacturing companies will probably need some more hands on the decks to get the work going. And that also has an effect on that unemployment number that we're looking at. Because everything across the board has, you know, literally, or at some point literally, stood still. And, you know, where companies are unable to manufacture, they don't need those hands on the deck. So they ended up scaling down, hence the high print that we saw. But now as we begin to open up, you know, and that's where that story of vaccination, again, looking at those numbers, keeping an eye on those numbers, what does that mean? You know, it also builds up sentiment as well, that positive sentiment that, okay, in the outlook, it looks that we are going in the right trajectory in terms of opening quicker when we start having more vaccinated cases. So then again, comes this new known as C112 variant that is emerged from the country. Now, what does it mean? Research is saying it's got mutations similar to that of the Delta variant. And we've seen what the Delta variant has done. So now the question is, for us to survive economically, are we going to have the right measures in place? China, in the past month, they also had to quickly shut down everything. We saw a case where one of the busiest ports, the third largest busiest port in the world, being shut down so that they could curb the cases. And rapidly that got them back to zero cases when they were able to open up. So such measures as well, are we able to then quickly implement this? And what would that mean to the rand? And that's where the story also starts getting told. And that will likely then affect that long-term outlook of the rand. In the past 2 weeks, we've, as mentioned, we've had a good rally off the rand, gaining 6.5%. But today we've got non-farm payrolls this afternoon. And what would that print mean? Should it beat expectation? That could reverse those that rally and those rand gains that we have seen and could change the trajectory going into the coming months. And why is that? Why would it change the trajectory is the question. Well, the US Fed did say that should we then have a consistent positive print? We saw in the last non-farm payrolls that the July print added 940,000 jobs. So now if this 750,000 beating expectation happens, that then somewhat solidifies that need to, or that view that the tapering is likely going to happen. And again, the future expectation of what the interest rates are going to likely look like in the United States. Again, this then affects where South Africa currently stands at the moment and possibly where we could end off the year.
Now, one of the things that does happen, you know, in this universe of factors is the fact that, apart from the US, there's also the fact that as South Africa, we get lumped together with the Brazils, the Russias, the Indias, the Chinas. We call them BRICS countries, but, you know, around the world, it's more, you know, emerging markets. And you're talking, I think Turkey is usually one of the countries that we're usually closely linked with, you know. So given everything that you've just spoken about, all the different factors, you know, that are going into it, and you know, on that vaccination point, I definitely agree. It's something that we've spoken about, you know, a lot, to say that the rate at which countries are able to vaccinate themselves and get to herd immunity is likely going to be one of those factors that either deepens whatever structural inequalities are like in the global economy, because, you know, the rate at which people vaccinate determines the rate at which they can get back to, you know, 70, 80, 90% capacity utilization in their economies. So, you know, getting a jab isn't just getting a jab. It's literally contributing to the economy in some way. So I guess from that point of view, then, how are we doing in relation to our emerging market peers? Is it, and are we concerned with every emerging markets, or are there particular ones that you tend to look at to say, okay, fine, this is a good benchmark for us to look, you know, to match the rand against?
So that's a very good question. So naturally, as you mentioned, with that basket of emerging markets currencies, that's what the rand then tends to get compared to, the BRICS, as you called it. But looking away from that, you know, just looking at, I think, call it isolation of the rand compared to the lira in terms of performance. The rand has, you know, performed well in this past, especially in these past 2 weeks relative to where the lira is against the greenback. So that's a positive sign for the rand, even though the dollar had the wobble, but the rand took some positives out of it, especially given that some of the brand drivers, the commodities, are big consumptions, especially for our trading partners such as China as well. So I think, and then when you then also look at the situation that happened with China as well, you know, being a key trading partner, where they had to halt everything completely, and where we are now in terms of where we were, you know, in the 15s, you know, big figure, now having come back, you know, to about 14, 1430, 1440. So it really then tells you the story that South Africa has, you know, as an economy in itself, you know, on the backdrop of so many negativities that, you know, have filtered in that currency pay, has now begun to rally well. So are we going to continue being a better performer to our peers, you know, like the lira, for example? Then the next months begin to tell, especially like what you mentioned, achieving that herd immunity, the ability to open the economy back. And for example, one of the biggest factors is South Africa is on the red list on travel with the United Kingdom. Now, that is a massive contributor of, you know, gross domestic product for South Africa. That figure, you know, accounting to millions and millions of rands that we've lost out on, given that particular red light system that the UK is using. So, as you mentioned, the jab is just not the jab, but that is also, you know, the tourism industry coming back online. That is also the jobs that are tied around the tourism also coming back online and seeing the rand even outperform its peers with compared to where we are as well, and sustain that that traction as we go. So that's going to be very important for us to see in the coming months.
Mm-hmm. As we end off, I want to maybe zoom in on, you know, clients, the actual people, either clients or just people that are actually in the FX market, because these aren't just numbers on the, you know, on a board. It's usually people that are actually doing business of some sort that are actually determining where the currencies are. And to your point earlier on about, you know, about the vaccinations, about the fact that, you know, you've got different levels of opening up, you know, we're constantly being measured against the likes of, you know, the likes of Turkey. On the ground, right, do you have any sense of what some of the drivers are in terms of, you know, what people are actually using FX for right now? Because there hasn't been that much travel, so you take, you know, you reduce the weighting of tourism, you know, in that FX market. Are people buying Bentleys overseas? Are they buying houses? is it export? Is it, you know, is it that we're exporting gold? Is it like, well, what at the moment, like what is driving the currency markets just from what you can see?
Yeah, I think that's quite interesting. So as you mentioned, you know, people are not traveling a lot. So, you know, everyone tends to be more within the proximity of their homes, be it work or be it shopping. So what has interestingly increased and notable as well, and also this was seen with the US listing of Robinhood as well, is retail investors. So that is where you start finding a lot of activity starting to pick up, especially within South Africa, where individuals are either out of a job or trying to look for secondary income as well. So trading has become one of those sources of that, either for some primary income or for other secondary income. And you're starting to see a good appetite where participants are funding their accounts. And because they're trading international markets, then naturally that will have a conversion of, you know, from rand to either dollar or, you know, a particular currency pair that has, you know, a lot of attention. And also for that dollar as a base to other trades as well, you know, not just the dollar rand trade, but, you know, perhaps trading in gold or perhaps trading in indices. So there has been a big uptick in terms of, you know, activity around that retail trader space as well. And the appetite is growing as they're becoming more knowledgeable in terms of, you know, what markets is all about. As you mentioned earlier on when we began the segment, you know, what do these numbers mean? What research do you need to have? You know, you asked earlier on, what does my role entail at Xness? And that's a financial market analyst. And that is to assist clients to better understand the markets. You know, when we look at the number, what does that inflation number mean? You know, because in itself, in isolation, it might mean nothing, but what it means in relation to what the interest rate decision is going to be by the South African Reserve Bank. Then once, you know, those retail traders have a better understanding on the right information they need to consume to make better decisions, you're starting to see quite a, you know, a good uptick of those activities from, you know, the retail traders. So I think that's where a lot of action is coming from as well. And that is then spread out. Some are going into stocks, some are going into currency pairs.
And then as we end off, because I'm actually learning something, I hadn't even thought about the fact, you know, how much people are trading at the moment, you know, especially using some of these platforms such as, you know, such as the Robinhoods. And when we think about what happened earlier this year with AMC, with GameStop, Dogecoin, all of these things that are happening in these Reddit communities, whatnot, it's actual money that's actually being traded on the ground. So that's actually, it's actually an interesting, you know, little tidbit over there. So as we end off, just on a final point from us, in an environment of low interest rates, especially in the US, right? Is South Africa still an attractive place for investors that are looking for yield? Because I'm pretty sure that's one of those things that does drive, you know, some of those considerations around, you know, around the rand.
Yeah, so that's a good question, especially on some market comments that came out earlier this week on some, you know, well-respected money managers from their, you know, pinnacle times. And so the U.S., as some are looking at it in terms of where yields are going to be, some are seeing yields on bonds, you know, to move higher. And so what does that mean for South Africa? So given the environment that we've been in, it still remains relatively, you know, attractive. I think what then becomes important, it's those dotted incidents that we've also then had the socioeconomic issues within South Africa from the riots that we experienced. That, you know, tends to shake investors. But once that unrest was quelled, you know, the things, the systems that we have, you know, then show, even though the reaction wasn't as quick as we intended it to be or needed it to be, but it did happen and that issue was quelled. And, you know, it's also seen in the RAND now in that movement as well, because what that means is you're starting to have good flow, capital flow, being attracted to find those, you know, good yielding treasuries of our bonds of ours, you know, compared to the US treasuries at the moment.
So that's been us with Terence Hove, who is a financial markets analyst over at Xness, just giving us some insight into what's going on in the currency markets right now. He's just highlighting the fact that, you know, as people in the currency markets, there's a lot of factors that they pay attention to. And one of the big things at the moment is some of the indicators that have recently come out. I think last week we just briefly touched on the fact to that, South Africa has found itself at around, you know, just above 40%. It should be 44%, if I remember correctly. You know, real unemployment. Usually they quote the 32% number, but, you know, it doesn't really tell the full picture. And he's also just highlighting the fact that when you look at a number, you know, those currency pairs that we usually see being reported, there are stories behind, you know, all of those different numbers. And factors such as unemployment, inflation, manufacturing, and at the moment, one of the big ones is the rate at which countries are vaccinating their populations, because that's a leading indicator to where jobs are going to go, where manufacturing is going to go, and where international trade ends up going. Because in an environment where there's little tourism, the things that are driving the currency markets do shift in some way. So hopefully, as things open up, we sort of get back to normal. What will be interesting is to catch up to with Terence again in a, you know, a few weeks, maybe a few months down the line, to sort of see where things are as the different countries progress. Because I think in the United States, over 100 million people vaccinated. I saw it, we heard an interesting number recently that over 4.1 billion jabs have been administered around the world, right? What does that actually mean on the ground, and what does it mean for our dear old Rand? Terence, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Mudiwa. Thank you for having me.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
Quite a fascinating discussion there with Terence, just listening and hearing about what's going on in and around the currency markets. Really good to get a sense. You know, you would think we were talking to an economist, but, you know, we're talking to someone who's in currencies. And when you think about it, right, you know, as a currency trader, a proper one at least, you do need to be an economist who understands, you know, what all of the different economic variables and economic fundamentals actually mean when it comes to the strength of the currency, especially in relation to the global world within which South Africa fits in. And, you know, just looking at different factors, whether it's U.S. monetary policy, the manufacturing numbers that were being highlighted, as well as the unemployment. The big thing is making sure that South Africa is a destination for investment, and that we have that trade that's, you know, ongoing and can actually help to push up the currency markets as people do more and more trade with the country. Now, the big thing is just that issue around vaccination. Vaccination is not something that's, you know, simply for an individual, but really it's all part of the collective effort for just making sure that economies around the world do end up opening. It might not necessarily end up being a normal per se, but rather a new normal. But, you know, getting to that stage where we can open up things just so that, you know, full activity can happen, increase that capacity utilization, and, you know, just make sure that we are creating those environments where people can be employed, where more trade happens, where, you know, tourism can actually come back, start contributing the 8 or 9% that it normally does to the economy. So it will be good to chat to, you know, someone like Terence, you know, once again in a few weeks, a few months time, just to get a sense of how the local currency is performing against other, you know, benchmarks, maybe the euro, the pound, or some of the Asian currencies such as the yen. And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.